Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 282 for Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021. Welcome back to The Boop Show. My name is Scott Johnson. That's Brian Dunaway over there rocking out.
Oh, hi, Scott.
Dancing like it's like there's no tomorrow. Dancing like he's in Footloose and he's screwing the old man by dancing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Screw the old man. Yeah. I'm dancing like it's Tuesday.
You know what's weird? I think John Lithgow was only in his 30s in that thing. But we always think of him as like ancient, right?
He was old. He still is old.
Well, yeah. But let's look at it. John Lithgow. I'm just going to look this up. So if he is born in 45, and we're talking 84.
45 what?
1945.
1945?
Yeah, 1945. He was in Footloose in 84. So help me with the math. 84 minus 45. What is that? Wait, is that how it works?
No, you're doing okay. So so you're wanting to know he was born in when? 45?
1945. How old was he in 1984?
Sure. That's easy enough right there.
Because I want to say
he would have been 39.
That's crazy.
And then if you go to plus, let's see, 121. So that makes him 160 now. That's not right.
He's 160 years old now. Finally, he's reached that ripe old age of 160. We knew he'd get there eventually. Harry and the Hendersons Part 2.
It would be 76. It should be 76 now. I had to do some math.
Oh, there you go. He still looks great.
He still looks fantastic.
Let's do a show here. Now, we got plenty to talk about. Before we get going too far, though, I did want to mention this. So I've had like this cyber itch I haven't been really able to scratch since Cyberpunk left me a little dry. Personal experience. Don't want to... You know, lay it on everybody's back and say, oh, Cyberpunk was bad for everyone. I'm sure someone had a great time. But for me, it was the great disappointment of the year. And
incompetent.
Well, a little incompetent, yeah. See film tech. We need one of those things like in comics where they put like a asterisk next to it.
See episode five something.
Those are visual hyperlinks before we had the internet.
A little asterisk there for you.
So anyways, what was I saying? So... I've just been kind of looking at stuff, trying to go, well, what's going to give me this? And you know what gave it to me? Today's review. So I'm not even going to tell you what it is yet because it's just a little weird today. It's a throwback review. But I did did finish, because I had the need to play some, I don't know, sci-fi RPG business. I finished The Outer Worlds finally. The Obsidian one.
Yeah. Yes. I'm so jealous of you because they had new content, right? And they also upped the frame rate on the Xbox Series.
They did. And that's where I finished it. Yeah. In fact, I was holding off on finishing it because I wanted a proper 60 frame plus frame rate to finish it. And I didn't. By the way, this is the one weird glitch in this particular Game Pass game. Microsoft owns Obsidian now. That was a launch on Game Pass for PC and console at the time, PS4, not Series S and X. But the cross save doesn't exist for it. It exists between two different PCs or two different Xboxes. Or in the case of PlayStation, because they also got it, they would have also had cross saves, but no cross save from console to PC. And so me thinking I'll finish this in a higher frame rate on my PC was never going to happen because they don't freaking support it. And as far as I can tell, it's just this one game that does it. Now, they may have changed that with this increase of frame rate. I don't know. But it's basically much better to play than the 30 it was locked into before. 30 was bad.
Yeah, the 30 was not an enjoyable experience. I had it on the original Xbox One.
Yeah.
Not the original, but the Xbox One. And I was like, I enjoyed it. But yeah, I would definitely like to see it in the 60 frame rate. And I did download it I downloaded it on the Xbox. And I did launch it and take a look. And I was like, oh, yeah, this game is rich and deep, and I'm not going to be able to just hop in for a few minutes.
You don't just poke your head out and check it out.
I've got to finish it.
Yeah, but I did that finally. I beat it, and I really, really enjoyed it. I haven't played any of the DLC yet. But
how was the end game?
It was great. I mean, the end game is basically. I mean, do you ever play Fallout New Vegas? Do you ever play that?
Absolutely.
Okay, yes. So that's these same guys. Obsidian
one of
made
my
that
favorites
game
of all time.
They basically were contractors for Bethesda at the time and made that spinoff. And I still think it's the greatest of all
New Vegas, all the Fallouts. Favorite.
It's so good.
It's hard not to.
The story was great. I think the systems were better refined. Like, it was just a great game. It had its problems and its jank. They were still using that Bethesda engine and all that, but overall it's my favorite. I like this game Outer Worlds because it is them doing that again. They're going back to that same kind of storytelling mechanically, first person view, the way you do quests and work with NPCs. Like, it's all very similar to the way New Vegas was structured. And I will say the ending is like that too. You get to a certain part and it says, hey, any new saves you make after this point are only going to be from this point forward. None of these saves are going to be from prior to that. So if you have prior to that saves, you can load them, but none of this stuff will have happened. So if you wanted to go clear up a bunch of quests or do any stuff you wanted to do before you come in here, do it, because the whole thing gets solved here. The story ends here. And sure enough, it does. So I'm fine with that. I was all cleared out, had everything caught up, and I went in there, made sure I was stocked up and ready to rock. Felt pretty good about my specs, my companions
stocked
I had with me.
Stocked up and ready to rock. That would fit on a shirt.
It would.
I'm getting that.
I'd wear that. But anyway, I beat it, and I really liked it, and I can't recommend it enough. So if you haven't played that game, we normally don't focus on the quote-unquote AAA releases, and I wouldn't even call it a AAA, but it's more like a...
I think even though Outer Worlds is definitely from a AAA company, mm-hmm. I don't know if it feels AAA as much as you would think. I have a lot of friends, and there's some gamers who only play in certain genres, and they probably would never play this, even though they play a lot of other AAA games that I do play.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I guess if you're an RPG fan, then you played this, or you should if you haven't.
Yeah.
It's very cool, and I loved it, and I will probably play that DLC. But here's the point of all this discussion, because I'm not really reviewing that game here. It pushed me down this road of like, I need more first-person stealthy freaking cyber shit, because Cyberpunk sucked. Can I get more somewhere else? And then I remembered, oh, yeah. A lot of us didn't play enough of it. I know I didn't. I got barely into it and then just sort of sidelined it and forgot about it. Not because it wasn't good, but because I just had other stuff going on. But in 2016, Deus Ex Mankind Divided came out, the sequel to the, what was the first one? Human Revolution.
There must have been something going on at that time, because I also picked up this game and remember playing it very briefly and then moving on to something else. There must have been something really big on the horizon.
Well, right, 2016, I mean, that year or that holiday was stuff like right around the corner, the Switch launched. We had Horizon Zero Dawn on PlayStation. There was other stuff going on. I think people were just sort of like, oh, yeah, it's one of those again. And it sold good. I mean, look at the Steam numbers alone, just like review numbers. You can kind of extrapolate sales and... It's very strong. Happens to be on like a 95% sale right now, so it was on my mind.
Oh,
I already owned it, but it's $4.50 or something right now. It'll go back up to 30 tomorrow, but it's like one of their midweek madness things. Anyway, so I got back into that. That is my review today, and I'll get to it, so I'm not going to do it here. But I'm actually going to review a game that's that old, but deserves me coming to the fight and fighting for it. Because, whole boy howdy, am I having fun in that game, and is it scratching all those Cyberpunk itches that Cyberpunk failed to scratch? So we'll talk about that.
I love how you start the show with, I'm not going to bash Cyberpunk. I'm sure some people are like, Cyberpunk sucks.
Well, it does kind of suck for me, all right? I'll just say that.
Yeah, there was a lot of expectations, and it failed in a lot of different ways. If you found joy in it, it was in spite of the attempt to fail that.
Now, there's a note here saying that you're in a dark mood, which is a rarity for you.
Right. I am in a dark mood. So I'm in dark mood. And what I did, even though it's spring, it just turned spring this past week, and I couldn't help but to want to look for some dark things. And that's going to be the game I'm talking about today, this Arthur dark fantasy setting game. But I played a game that I would like to kind of recommend. It's a small app game. It's on the Apple Arcade. It's called Card of Darkness.
Oh, I have that.
It, Yeah, yeah, I dig it. It's a 4x4 grid of stacks of cards where you're in this, you're playing as like this character that is kind of like an Adventure Time kind of art style.
Yeah.
And every time you start with a row of cards that are flipped over, and those cards contain like either some health potion or a weapon, and also has enemies with very quick numbers on them, and you have to create yourself a lane to get out of each of those 4x4 grids, and it's just a lot of fun. I like the simplicity of the design. It's real easy just to hold down on a card and get the its perks or whatever it is it's doing, so you can make those quick decisions.
So you know who this is, right? So this is originally an Apple Arcade exclusive. It's coming to other stuff, but Zach Cage designed it, and he's known for a ton of fantastic mobile games. And the artist is Pendleton Ward. The actual creator.
Is it really Pendleton Ward?
Yes. So the guy who made your adventure deal made that. Yeah.
I spun the wheel in the Apple Arcade and just downloaded it because it looked interesting.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool game. It's a fun little research. Deck buildery thing. It's neat.
You're right. It says Pendleton Ward right there. So I guess that explains that.
Yeah, this was a famous launch I think this was actually a launch title on the service. It was like a big.
I've got the Apple Arcade because we picked up a new Apple device. We bought it straight out at Christmas time, so you get like 3 months of Apple Arcade. So I was just like, meh.
Yeah, it's very cool. My daughter loves this game, mostly because of the art in there. But
it's definitely because the art draws you in, but I stayed for the gameplay. At first, the gameplay was kind of annoying, but then it really kind of hooked me.
Yeah,
it took a little while.
It'll get you. It's good card stuff. So we'll get to all that in a second. Yeah. I want to just throw out this quick thing that I started, and I want people to sign up for it if you haven't heard about it. I'm starting a newsletter.
A newsletter?
An official Frog Pants newsletter. I like to think of it more as like some skater kid zine from the 90s, except it won't have any of that kind of stuff in it. But I used to love that kind of idea back in the day. I always wanted to publish my own thing. And for a while I did at school, like in high school. I had this crappy printed on garbage copy paper thing for other cartoonists and artists at my school. And we just thought it was so cool.
We did that too. Yeah. You're a friend of mine.
And guess what's coming back like a freaking vengeance? Newsletters.
Is that coming back?
They're huge. Because people are, here's my take. Here's my thinking. People are a little overwhelmed with like social media is just a quick blip in the pants and then you're done. And you're not really hanging on to anything. It's all very fast. It's all flipping ahead of you. You're being bombarded with ads all the time. Some of these people you want to listen to, talk to, hear their content, whatever it is. You want to slow down. You want to kind of just get it when it's ready. You want to see it curated. Like, I think we're having a little bit of a shift back to the way we used to do things a bit. And so an idea that everyone thought was dead, quote unquote, a newsletter, is now having a kind of a resurgence. I decided to hop on board and give it a shot. It's totally free. It doesn't cost you a thing to go sub up for it. Go over to frogpants.club.
Club.
Frogpants.club. I bought that domain just so I could forward it.
you got the full club domain. I had a club domain. I had an Involve club domain. I let it expire though.
Yeah, probably did.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I like getting these weird domains. So I have a few weird Frog Pants ones, and the one I want people to use for this is frogpants.club. Okay, and it'll take you straight there.
If you want to see the most old school picture of Scott Johnson, it's a freebie. You get it when you subscribe.
Yep. It's right there. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff in there, including a discussion about FilmSack's heated discussion regarding the Zack Snyder thing. It's right there in the thing.
I love it. That's fantastic.
And even if you signed up late, it's okay that you didn't get this issue because you can go back and read them all if you are signed up. And being signed up, I literally mean you put your email address in and that's it. That's all you have to do. Then it comes to you in the email. It also is just there on the site if you'd rather get it that way at frogpants.club. So it's entirely on you how you want to use it. But I'm very excited about it. I'm going to do all kinds of cool stuff in the future, things to do with gaming as well. So Boop will be involved in some way. It's going to be great.
I'm already sidetracked.
Fantastic. All right, Brian, this. that sound means it's time to talk about the games we played. Now, I know this is unusual, and I do have other games that I could be reviewing that are newer or whatever, but I just feel
No, you cannot. You play what you played. You own it.
Yeah, you play what you play. I am kind of in a holding pattern while I wait for Nebuchadnezzar and some of these other games to do their big updates. Shipbreaker's got this huge update coming that will screw everyone's saves up, so I feel like I can't play that right now until that comes out.
Right.
So there's a lot of stuff I want to be playing and feel like I'm just waiting for devs to cough up their... coming soon.
Their offerings.
Patches. Yeah. So hopefully sooner than later we get that stuff. However, unsubbing's easy, Disturbed Angel. There's literally a thing at the bottom of every one of those posts that just says unsub me. It's not hard. And I don't get any of these emails. Like it just takes you out, so you're gone. Sorry. Chat room had a question. It seemed like a good one. Anyway, back to the point. I did start playing Mankind Divided, and for whatever reason, I just got completely wrapped up in it. I don't know why it's clicking with me so much, and it's not that it didn't before. I just don't know why it wasn't that it wouldn't click with me. I wasn't clicking with it back in the day. And for those who aren't familiar, the Deus Ex series goes all the way back to 1998, 99, something like that, where there was an original game that came out of, what was the name of that studio?
Exactly, studio.
I forgot. It's where John Romero went and made Daikatana and stuff.
With that studio? Hold on a second.
Yes, it was with that studio. Why can't I think of the effing studio? Anyway, it doesn't matter. They're gone now. They're gone. They're long gone.
Yeah.
That's going to bug me. Anyway, the original
disc. I'll find it. You keep talking. Was it Ion Storm?
Ion Storm. There it is. Ion Storm. That's it. Ion Storm. And they were famous for a couple of things. One was this Deus Ex game. And it was this game built in the original Unreal Engine, not Unreal Tournament or anything since then, like the original ass freaking Unreal Engine, which at the time was pretty hot. But what made it unique and different is this thing was like a full-blown cyber RPG with all these abilities and equipment and implants and neuro things and hacking systems and tons of inventory and just crazy complex sort of Blade Runner-esque stuff going on in that game. And nobody had done anything quite like that, especially not, you know, in everyone's Unreal shooter engine. So this is just it was an odd time. And, I loved that game, man. Oh my gosh, I loved it. I was so into it. Played the hell out of it. Looking back now, it's really ugly and super overly complicated and would not work well today. But at the time, it was something else. But that's games, right? 98.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's jump to 2011. They made a new one. This same team. This is Eidos Montreal. They're owned by Square Enix, and this is published by Square Enix. The 2011 one introduces this character, Adam Jensen. He's a agent working for a clandestine group of people who are trying to make the world a better place in this shit future that we find ourselves in. Everybody's got implants. They call them clankers. They're kind of, people are racist against clankers. I don't know, racist, but you know, they discriminate against them.
They're classist because they're clankers, right? They have a class. They're a class.
Yeah. People don't like people that have implants. There's a lot of religious opposition to it. There's a lot of just social opposition. If you have a fake leg and you're full of chips or whatever, people don't trust you.
Yeah. You're highly suspect. I mean, you could be, obviously, you're being tracked by the government if you got like a fake leg, right?
Right. No problem. They just find you wherever you're at.
Right.
Anyway, you're full of this stuff. Like in that first game, especially, you just, by the end, you're just a big walking robot man. But he's awesome. I love him. He's one of my favorite characters in modern games, partly because he's just, in some ways, he's very dude bro. In some ways, he's more new and nuanced than a dude bro. It's hard for me to explain. I think Adam Jensen's just one of the cool characters ever. Anyway, the game is a lot more action oriented if you want it to be. Stealth is still, I think, the way to play it because that's what I enjoy the most. But you can kind of build your way you want to. You want to come in guns blazing all the time? Great. You want to enter every situation as a possible chance to take people one by one out and use cool tools to do it and crawl through the walls and find strange ducks and stuff like that to get the job done, you can do it. Lots of dialogue tree stuff and that sort of thing. The 2011 game is a lot like the 2016 game, but the 2016 game just takes stuff further and gives you some abilities you couldn't have in that original game and just takes the story in places that I think nobody quite expects. Anyway, I'm probably in a new fresh run of 3 to 4 hours into this so far, and I really like it, man. It's just a cool game. And if you just need that, I don't know, that dystopic future where I got a chip in me and the government sucks and everything's run by corporations and all that cyberpunk stuff.
I mean, this is, yeah, but it still sounds very today topical. I mean, it doesn't sound like either they predicted a few things that were going to happen or it's very timely.
I don't even think they did that. I think they just did a better job than Cyberpunk did at that kind of universe. I mean, Cyberpunk, the licensed property that CD Projekt Red used to make Cyberpunk. I don't know if people, I assume people know that, but that's a tabletop game system.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. Well, see, okay. Now I'll tell you, it's a tabletop game system.
Tell me.
It was a tabletop game system, been around forever since what? Early '90s or late '80s, mid '80s. That's it. And, it's kind of like The Witcher is based on books. This is what CD Projekt Red does. They take stuff from other things. So this property, this tabletop game system has decades of lore and storytelling and ideas and concepts and you know, that sort of stuff. Yeah, mid-80s, that's right.
Been that long? Wow. Oh, yeah.
So that's why everybody was so excited. Well, people are excited no matter what. You're just like, oh, that looks cool, even if you didn't know about it. But if you knew about Cyberpunk, you were really excited because, oh my gosh, I'm going to finally take this really complex, amazing world and turn it into a video game. That seemed great. Well, Deus Ex and 100 other games, they're playing in the same sandbox. It's just not called Cyberpunk, but it's the same milieu. It's Blade Runner. It's, I don't know what else to compare it to. Do you ever play, what's it called? What do you call it when you're part of a group that's like a clandestine group of bad guys? Syndicate.
Oh, a syndicate. I was going to say Cobra.
Yeah, that's another good example.
Hydra? Snake name?
Like Syndicate is all about, you know, hacking and improving, augmenting yourself and all this BS. Like it's that sort of stuff. And that's what the Cyberpunk thing is. And this game is better than Cyberpunk. There, I said it. I said it out loud. A game from 2016 is better and holds up better than your damn hot new CD Projekt Red game, or at least for me.
Right. Right. And it's really two different types of games, though, right? Because Cyberpunk is mostly open world eventually. I mean, you have an on-rails story, but eventually they're supposed to like let you loose, right?
Just well, kind of same with this. Like this works the exact same way.
Kind of,
they're RPGs. They have a main story. They have side quests. They have an open world where you can just kind of wander around and decide what you want to do next. And you can fast travel.
I did not play this game for more than a hot second.
Oh, you.
Why is Hitman on my screen right now? Why am I looking at Hitman?
He's not Hitman.
It's
definitely not Hitman. They're like this Illuminati group that are all trying to decide what's next on their shit list. And that's kind of where you start to come in and you got to kick butt. The problem is you were just involved in a really bad massacre in Dubai or somewhere. And your shit's all shot to shit.
Ripped from the headlines.
So if you go and get, you know, you're trying to use your abilities and you can't, your systems are all left up. So you got to, some of your early goings on in this is just to get yourself set right. And you got to work with like a hacker guy that fixes you and you get some new abilities from that, that sort of thing. But the game is first person, like a shooter, and literally has guns and things if you want, or, you know, tasers or other stuff to like knock your people out.
Why am I now looking at Neo? Am I looking at Neo from the Matrix?
So that's
right
not
now?
Neo. That's Adam Jensen. That's your protagonist. This guy's talking to is the hacker that's going to make his stuff work again. And, he's a Neo. He's Neo-ish.
Who is this Gen Z fool on my screen right now? Who is that guy?
I like that every single person in this is like, who's this? Why is Hitman here?
Who's this guy?
Who's this man? Yeah, it's this sort of stuff. Those glasses that he's wearing there, Adam Jensen's wearing, are very cool because they roll into themselves. You never have to take them off.
I was about to say, like those Tannenbed glasses you like insert into your eye practically. They don't have like rims or anything.
Yeah. And then
but I guess they just retract him.
Chat room says something about the animation. Yeah, the character animations aren't the greatest, but who is? Like, I don't know who's doing the best work these days.
This, it ain't these guys.
This stuff right here, kind of always
I don't know,
bad.
Man. The Witcher, Witcher 3, even as it's starting to age, still has some of the best emoting.
Really? Because I would say this stuff characters. Here that The Witcher does is really bad. The Witcher, love The Witcher. The Witcher's great. Right. Don't get me wrong. Love it. But
are we talking hair tech? Because that's totally different.
Not even hair tech. Animation. I mean, just like expressions and faces. What I'm telling you, Brian, is that nobody does this well. It's all bad.
Yeah, it's not great.
Lots of uncanny valley. Lots of
we forget how many processes it takes to make a game run like realistically, to render something real time realistically on our standard gaming PCs. We forget.
Yeah. Chat room says we do forget. Let's see. This is Silences was here or whatever. Was this originally a PS3 Xbox 360 release? No, that was the original game. The one I mentioned earlier from 2011. That was not Mankind Divided. The other one, Human Revolution. That one was a 360 PS3 and PC game. And Mankind Divided was just 4 years ago. 5 years ago now. 2016. When was that? Whatever, yeah. 5 years ago, four or five years ago.
Where are we at right now?
We were in the thick of the PS4 Xbox One generation, and I'm playing it on PC. I should mention, although I have it on Xbox, they don't have it optimized.
You paid like $5 for it, right?
$4.50 on PC. I already owned it, so I bought it when it was new, and I think I paid full price then. But if you bought it now, you would go buy it right now. You'll only spend $5. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Do you have a shame? I have a shame that I want to mention. This always every time this comes up, every time I talk about an older game that I didn't go back and play.
Give me a shame.
I always have this deep shame that I had to go out and buy a Dead Space 3 opening. You know, as soon as it came out, I had to get the physical copy. I had to have it. Well, never opened it.
And you never why? Still, what did you
still in the cellophane? I don't know what happened. But dude. I feel bad about it all the time.
That's
I think
hilarious.
It was like a $60 game. I never even opened it. And that's not me.
Do you still have it?
I'm frugal.
Do you still have it? Do you have the game?
I do. But at some point in time, I end up getting it on a service for practically nothing. And I was like, I'm not even going to open that stupid thing. Yeah. It just rolled. It's like, oh, something came up and I can't open it today. So I'll wait until the weekend to do it. And it's like, then the weekend happened and something happened. And then it was like, this is like a week later. Next thing I know, it's almost Christmas. And I'm like, what happened?
Yeah. Oh, the weekend. You know, he's a rapper type fella.
Yeah, the weekend. He's not a rapper type.
No, he's more like hip hop, R&B, pop star.
Right, R&B, pop. That's what I would think.
Yeah. Broke his face on purpose or whatever he did.
I don't know.
He's all
right. He's got a gimmick.
His stuff he did, his collab with Daft Punk, some of my favorite things in the world. But
absolutely. I like The Weeknd.
Everything
I like
but
The
that,
Weeknd. I like Fridays. Yeah. I like Saturday and Sunday.
Do you like now I forgot. I was gonna ask. Oh, there's a hacking screen. Look at him doing some hacking there, trying to get past the old firewall.
You know what I don't. Now, see, I kind of like this. I think that's one thing that always fails for me in just about any cyberpunk game. Mm. I'm always disappointed in the hacking. It never seems like hacking. They can't seem to like nail it for me.
Well, you would like it.
That is very cyberpunk. Are we watching cyberpunk right now?
No, this is that's my point. This is going to scratch your itch. It's going to say, hey, is that a cyberpunk itch you have? Is that a rash caused by lack of cyberpunk? And you'll say, yeah.
Is cyberpunk on my screen right now?
No, and then this game will say, hey, look at us from 4 or 5 years ago. We're going to scratch your itch. And it still looks great. Like this game, it's running at a freaking maximum everything on my PC. Beautiful 120 frames per second kind of frame rates. Just no issues. This video we're looking at is not. So I think it's at 30, but sadly, the X and S versions and PS5 versions are not optimized for the new consoles, so they still lock in at 30.
Right.
Like most games of that era with this level of detail, but yeah, I like it a lot. So I'm just saying, go back to the well, you guys. Give it another shot, because you didn't try hard enough the first time, and you forgot how rad it is. And I'm not even saying you shouldn't go play the original. I think that whole bundle's like $7 on Steam. Nice. There's nothing wrong with the one from 2011 either. It's just a little older, but this thing holds up and plays great, and you missed out on it. And there's all sorts of gadgetry, freaking stealthy bullshit going on. And they're not, you know, as far as I know, they don't have another one of these in the works, which bums me out because it's rad. So anyway.
I like stealthy bullshit. Did you get any game capture? Did you going to play me some audio, or I just have to
Yeah, I got a little bit.
For my nostalgia.
No, here's some. Here's Adam Jensen, our hero, played by a dude. I don't know his name, but I really like his vocalization. So here's him talking.
This is Jensen. Ben House access route secure. Jin shouldn't be a problem. Over.
Copy that.
About time. Enemy helo sighted.
Ooh, it swears. You got swears. I'll skip ahead a little bit.
Watch your f***ing mouth, Halliday. Oh.
Both of you, shut up.
Five I in lost position. My coffee.
Everybody sorry, stay sharp. Singh's got eyes on Shepard.
So this is a lot of, you know, military intrigue and government stuff.
Why? I'm maybe not around military people enough, but do they just drop the F-bomb? Because, like, every freaking game that deals with military always seems like they have to just go there.
Well, I'm glad you asked. According to my brother-in-law, who is a Marine, he says right. It is a swear bag monster every day.
Okay, well, I mean, I get it. It's a high-pressure situation, so I can certainly understand who gives a crap if you use some profanity. I've just never really thought, is this really accurate?
Well, Insidian, I mean, oh, by the way, good to see you, Insidian. I haven't seen you in a long time. Says, cursing like a sailor is a phrase for a reason. He's right. Like, that is a common-ass thing, yeah. Everybody who I've ever known in the military, even people that are, like, super reserved otherwise,
right.
If you piss them off or they break something in the garage or whatever, you've never heard F-bombs fly like that before.
Oh, holy yeah. Jesus. And like I said, I mean, if I had seen the shit that they've seen, see, the worst I'd get is shit, because most of my days are made up of, oh, I hit my leg.
You know,
it's not
just a lot of shit.
Severe.
Sure.
Yeah.
I get you.
So I haven't graduated to the F-bomb.
Yeah. Well, it takes a village. All right.
It takes a village idiot.
I like it a lot. I know it's old. I usually talk about new indie games here, but I'm talking about a game that did not get enough love, in my opinion. I think it's a modern classic. People should play it. Yes.
We made our own rules. No one locked
us. We can do whatever we want.
We don't have some kind of advertising agreement with somebody. We can review.
We can do whatever we want to do. I just know what I'm doing is heading off emails. That's what I'm doing.
Right.
I thought you guys only did new games. Yeah. I'm not going to take any of that.
Well, that's okay, because what Scott's doing is bringing a Zen-like quality to the show by creating a balance, because what I played is so early access that it's going to peel your skin off.
Why is this so early access, by the way? I thought they were further along. It surprises me when you say that. So tell me more. Right. Tell us about the game and why is it too early for this game?
King Arthur Knight's Tale. Is it too early? I'm going to try to figure that out with you while we talk about it. It is as described, a unique hybrid between turn-based tactical games and traditional character-centric RPG. Knight's Tale is a modern retelling of a classic Arthurian mythology story filtered through the dark fantasy tropes. A twist on the traditional tales of chivalry. So, this game is pretty big as far as this is maybe one of the bigger indie games we've reviewed, at least that I've reviewed, because it really looks like a AAA game, and the depth and scope of what they're doing is pretty intense.
For those wondering, polished. This game is basically like XCOM meets fantasy Arthurian lore.
Correct. Right. So the overworld part, the part where you're exploring, you're in Avalon, Arthurian lore, myth, and you're in Avalon, and you have come back. The lady of the lake, the lady of the water, the lady with the sword, you met her.
The watery tart, as
the watery tart, as you would say.
Yeah.
She has brought you Mordred back. So Mordred in this lore is part of the legend. He's the one who kills King Arthur, or his rival.
Yeah.
So in this game, he actually kills. They share kill on the battlefield. King Arthur and Sir Mordred share kill. because they both stab each other at the same time, and they say, take that, and they both fall dead on the battlefield. The Lady of the Water brings back the body of King Arthur to Avalon, where things go awry. And King Arthur is, you know, he's basically visited Pet Cemetery. He's come back. He's not the King Arthur we know. So she gets the bright idea to bring back Sir Mordred, who you get to play as a knight, a dark knight. And is your quest.
Now you get to be Batman in this game? Is that what you're saying?
You basically get to be Arthurian Batman. Okay. So you get to be Batman, essentially. You come in here. Everything is topsy-turvy. It's in a, you know, it's in that dark fantasy world instead of what you would usually expect from that, you know, the knights of chivalry, and everything is kind of, you know, hopeful and upbeat. No, here we're dealing with the undead. We have characters that are dead and come back to life.
Yeah. And there's magic and supernatural stuff and all that stuff going on. Yeah.
Magic, supernatural stuff. Basically, most of the gameplay is XCOM like. You have tactical, you got your action points that you have to navigate in your battles. When you're exploring your RPG part, when you're exploring Avalon, you're able to actually go back to like a darkest dungeon kind of Camelot, where you can upgrade your town or your little city builder there.
I like Darkest Dungeon a lot, so that's good news. I love hearing that.
It is really good. It is really good. You upgrade through earning coins from loots that you get when you go on these missions. And then you also pick up resources, which allows you to unlock and upgrade areas of Camelot. And so it also allows you to heal your characters, because that's very important, because you'll go on these missions with up to four knights. I think you always have to play – when you play the actual missions, there's like a prologue part. And I think the prologue is actually available for download on Steam. I might be wrong with that. Not 100% sure. But the prologue part, you get to play with fewer characters. It's a couple of knights, Sir Mordred. But as you get into it, you don't have to play Sir Mordred every time. You will acquire other knights and other ranged fighters, some champions occasionally.
Can I play the knights who say knee? Is that possible? No?
There might be some knights who say knee, and that's an interesting topic that you mentioned, that because there is a morality chart in the game that you get to choose in a couple of different paths. North and south on this morality chart is a four-point chart. If you go northerly, you are the righteous. If you go south, then you're more when you make those decisions, you kind of move around on that chart. So you can make decisions at the end of each mission as you leave an area, and you can decide to go darker or lighter. And then east to west is either new religion, which was Christianity based in this time period, or the old religion, the more pagan religion. And so you can kind of guide your character for these choices on this morality chart. And that affects the knights and how they respond to you, because they can betray you, the knights that you're going with. If they don't die, each mission carries with it a chance of permanent death in your save. So as you go along, you can lose knights, and I've already lost several.
So it's not – wow, that sounds a lot like – not necessarily full Iron Man XCOM, but something close to that.
It's very close. It's very close to Iron Man mode. You can save as long as you go, or you can play a true rogue and just you just constantly losing crap. I couldn't do that.
Like, yeah, I can't do that either.
I can't do that.
Yeah. I can't even do like hardcore characters in Diablo. I can't do it.
Right. Right. No. So when you're in your battles, and how does a knight die? Well, each of your knights has a armor level. So your bowmen usually don't have very little armor, if any armor at all. Mm-hmm. And then you've got your hit points, and then you got your vitality. If the enemy makes it through your vitality, I'm sorry, through your hit points, they can start knocking down your vitality, and your hero could be in some real trouble. They'll have to go to hospice back in Camelot to recover. They'll have to sit out a couple of missions.
Yeah, or that's very all of what you're describing is very Darkest Dungeon for sure.
Yes, yes.
There's some of that in XCOM, but it's less of a focus in XCOM than
right, that. Right. But I mean, this game is polished. Problem is, it's very short right now, maybe 5 hours of gameplay.
Yeah.
You probably could extend that by rerunning stuff. But the good news is the developer is, you know, they have a good track record. This is NeoCore Games. They've done other Arthur-based games as well as some 40K tactical stuff. So
now you got me here listening to this. Well, you do you know what they did before?
Let me see. Let me pull it up again. I'm kind of blanking on the exact subtitle of the games because they're. Let me see here. Boop a doop a doop.
I'm gonna bring it.
Pull this up. It is Warhammer 40K, Inquisitor Prophecy, and Inquisitor. Okay. Let me see. I love those games.
Prophecy and Martyr. Those two games.
Yeah, those two games.
Those are awesome games. I'm stoked. You know what I was gonna say when you first started showing, when I started watching your video, there was a certain part of me that was like, "There's like a Warhammer vibe going on in this."
Yes, totally.
Just, it's definitely not your. Oh, hello. I've brought my sword, madam. Where's the queen? It's not like that at all. It's more like, freaking stick an arrow in your ass kind of thing. And that's cool.
Exactly. It's some Van Helsing stuff as well. But all their games are pretty solid and they're very competent so far. Developers, they kickstarted this game. And this is where it's going to kind of come into the price I'm going to talk about for just a second. This game came out Tuesday, January the 20th in early access. I think it came out after that. I don't think it was. It might have been that. No, I think it was that.
They did those Van Helsing games as well. They did.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, these guys. I like these guys. I'm in.
Yeah, they've done. They are really good. I really like their work. And NeoCore Games is the name of the developer. Game came out January 26, 2021 this year. Still very early access. They've already released their first roadmap to success release in the end of February. They're supposed to be releasing another one, and they've mapped all this stuff out. If you go to their website, they're mapping out exactly how they're going to complete each thing. It's like there's things that haven't been applied yet, like traits.
Yeah.
They haven't applied those to the characters yet. It's not available, but they're working on it. This game started off as a Kickstarter project, I think in 2020, I believe.
Yeah.
And so you could have got in on the ground floor then. So, I mean, you can see this game a couple of different ways. You can think about it as, oh, I'm a late Kickstarter. You know, I came in late. Or you can say, I trust these developers. They have a good track record. You know, all the things you do with a Kickstarter project. $35 is kind of a sticking point for a lot of people. I wouldn't recommend this for anyone unless this is their jam and they're okay with playing early access. I have a feeling that this hopefully, please, nothing happens and they move forward and they keep developing and they keep making love to this game and making it better because it is
making love.
Making love. As far as early access games go, this is in my top five for this year as far as just, you know, potential.
Oh, very cool.
It is just so full of potential. I am having so much fun in this game and it is gorgeous.
Yeah.
I love the artwork. It's a painterly kind of artwork, and they carry it all through the interface. Everything just looks good and polished and complete for what they got. It's just, is there enough content there yet? And there's a few little touches here and there they can improve, you know, like, you know, they need to improve performance in some areas because it can get a little bit laggy sometimes, but not too bad, you know, and they just got to touch up some things. By the way.
Yeah.
I didn't do a lot of Overwatch in XCOM.
Oh, the move of Overwatch, yeah. The move Overwatch,
You know, that strategy of Overwatch. I didn't do a lot of that in XCOM, but in this game I do it a lot. They've got cover that you can take.
Yeah.
I haven't really looked at the statistics. I've heard seen some people say, "Oh, the cover doesn't really help as much as it should." Like it shouldn't, like it does in other games. Yeah, so there's probably, a lot of things they're still massaging that. With this game. So it's still very early access.
I will say this. One of the things I like the most about the Martyr game or about the Inquisitor games, they're 40K Diablo games, basically. They're very cool. Two things. One, they supported the hell out of it. When it launched, it had problems. They had bugs. They had server issues. Like, could have just petered out and gone away, but they stuck with it. And now that thing is respected. Like, that is a classic ass great game. The other thing I was going to say is the cover system in the Martyr game is really unique, but it's designed for real time cover. And I don't think it would work here, but by bringing that up, what I'm trying to say is I'll bet they figure it out. They'll figure out the best way.
I think they'll figure it out. And the, And the good news is the community I've seen so far who is kind of rallying around this, they seem to be, it's not like they're like just going, ah, they're all, everybody seems to be really invested. And I think it's because we don't have a lot of really good, you know, Arthurian legend type games out there that dig this deep. Each one of these knights has, like, you can mouse over top of them and they'll give you a total description of, you know, their history and everything. And so if that's your jam, I love it. King Arthur, Knight's Tale by Neocore came out early this year, January 26, 2021, on Steam now for $35 or something like that. No deal yet. It's just, that's just what it is. It felt, like I said, it feels very much like an extension of their Kickstarter project. By the way, they also got some European governmental assistance too. That's a lot more common in European countries to kind of give a little bit of money towards the entertainment and business in that area.
Well, you've done two things here. Number one, you solidified my interest in this game, which I'm still going to get. And two,
hurry.
You have made
me just want to support the developer.
You've made me want to probably buy Inquisitor again on console, because now it's on console.
See, I never played it. I need to go back. Warhammer is something that I always felt like, and like I go to play and I'm like, oh, I'm really missing something here. I need more. I don't know.
Well, they vary wildly in quality. Like, you got to know which ones to get or which ones to play. And I pay attention to those pretty religiously, just because I love everything. Everything 40K for me is a win.
But and when I say more, I mean my lack of experience with the series and the whole world.
Did you ever play Space Marine?
Not the game itself.
Did you ever play Space Marine back in like 09 or 2010?
That was the only one I really picked up, because I felt like it was... it was really easily accessible by anybody who had never played it.
It was.
So that was like my favorite.
Yeah, it was a very action-oriented thing, but I freaking loved it.
We didn't talk about the voiceover work. I think the voiceover work is fun. I like it. And if you want to play that second audio clip, by the way, the cinematics in this game definitely makes you think this game is way bigger than it is. If you have any time to play the launch trailer audio,
yeah, here's some. Here's some for you right here.
Wake up, Knight.
Lady in the water, I'm guessing. There she is.
You must take up your arms again. This is all very confusing. I know. Focus.
Focus. I'm the lady in the water. Hurl your sword at me.
A very epic battle on the scale of what you would have seen in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
Just brought to life.
They have some really good cinematics looking stuff, too.
Yeah, so good.
Here's some fighting.
Just a nick.
Oh, it's just a nick. Oh, man. Oh, it's a banshee. Oh, another.
No honor.
No honor.
Oh, I'm playing this game. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no honor. I love the banshee. The banshee is the worst. Oh, okay, when you first start playing, you'll be like, oh, this is pretty straightforward. You know, you're just fighting some guys and stuff, and it's pretty straightforward. But then as you get a little further, you start hitting the more undead areas, and you start having characters that you kill, but they're going to resurrect within, like, three turns or however many turns. It'll show you how many turns you have.
Oh, I see.
For them. And then also, you'll be on a, you know, you're on your little gridded board, and you're like, oh, I'm going to action point on over there. I'm just going to, you know, walk over there and hit this guy. And as you go along, suddenly a skeleton pops up out of the ground and it breaks your approach, and you have to fight. And it's like, ah, oh, come on.
Yeah, no, I get you. It's a,
but it's fun.
It's the trappings of the turn-based games, and I love them. Yes. So I'm probably going to end up with this game, I think. I just can't imagine a world where I don't. All right. That was great. But now.
I loved it.
This. Time to play Guess Our Game. We both have clips of old games, and we're going to play them and see if we can fool each other into not knowing what the hell they're from. I'm going to start. This is audio from a game all the way back in 1985.
The 85s?
85. Yeah. Big year for games if you look at the list. But the one I chose is a game I had and really enjoyed at the time. Let's see if you like it or not. I liked it as a young teenager. So let's see if you do. Here you go. the actual gameplay. All right, the hint is NES and okay, published by Nintendo. Those are your two hints.
Right. Okay. Published by Nintendo, NES. That's kind of I'm kind of shocked. I would have almost have guessed that was an Atari game because that was very
Pretty basic. Pretty basic. To me the music is the giveaway.
I don't know.
Let me play that music again. That's the giveaway.
Do it again. That's what I was thinking. I'm getting a Burger Time vibe at that, but it doesn't sound burger. Like
Okay.
The rest of it doesn't sound like Burger Time.
No.
So is it like cowboy based? Is it like one of those old West kind of games?
Nope. I'll give you a hint. Another hint.
Give me another hint. Give me
it's
another hint.
It's a sports game.
Oh, okay. Oh, now let me think. Okay.
We've narrowed it way
now
down.
I'm trying to remember those sounds. I'm like, I mean, because that wouldn't be, what is, I mean,
here,
it wouldn't
be
tennis
again.
Because tennis wouldn't be like that. What sport game is that? Is that baseball?
You know what? It is baseball. I'll give it to you.
Is it baseball?
Yeah. NES baseball. 1985's NES baseball.
God, I miss a good baseball game. And when I mean good, I mean bad.
Yeah. Well, I like a good arcade baseball game. Although, I do like those show games that Sony makes, which I guess are now coming to Xbox.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Now, is that just NES baseball? Or just like the first, nothing.
Just
nothing
NES
added
baseball.
To it?
No, this like wow. they had a hockey game I really liked too. Called it. I think it was just literally called Nintendo Hockey or just Hockey.
Can you do that anymore? I mean, we've had such a long run of video games. Can you just go?
Oh no,
this is iPhone football.
No, because what they do now, even if they can't have the license, they'll still make up a bunch of fake teams and have franchises
right.
and all the stats and everything. Like, there's no way you get around more now. But back then, that hockey game was: do you want to be a little tiny skinny guy? Do you want to be a medium guy? Or do you want to be a big fat guy? That's how you chose your team. And the fat guys could really slam
good.
Through people, but he was slow. The little tiny guy was really fast, but you could knock his puck away real easy. And the middle guy was like just right, you know, like the average. Anyway,
love
it's good
it.
Stuff.
I now I want to go back and play those games.
Played the hell out of that back those. In the day. Go like, you can emulate it or whatever. It's fun.
I remember there was a time when it was like, what generation was it? Or was it a PC? It's like a backyard baseball, backyard everything for a while. I'm trying to remember.
Oh, right.
What generation that was?
Well, there was all the street soccer stuff. Street basketball, but I don't know. Let's see. Oh, backyard baseball. Here it is.
Yeah.
So this was, there was a game called, I'm remembering this. Humongous Entertainment made it.
Yes. Yes.
It was an Atari published it. It was made for the the DS. PS2,
right.
Wii, Windows, iOS, Xbox 360, Game Boy Advance, Nintendo GameCube, and Mac.
Everything.
97 is when the first version came out. Yeah, it's very much in the vein of what I played.
Right.
It's a lot like that.
I think
like
we had a PlayStation 2, if I remember correctly.
Backyard baseball, baby.
Backyard sports.
It's pretty good. Okay. Excellent work. We both won. I think we both won. Oh, I haven't played
we
yours
yet. We both won that.
I haven't
we
played
all
yours
won.
Yet. I haven't played yours yet. Let's play yours now. Are you ready? Any
Let's
hints, by the way, before I do it?
Absolutely. 2004 is where I will start my hinting.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, thank goodness. Listen, lad, could you do me a favor? I've got to, you know, answer a call of nature. Oh, stay here and watch this stock for me. There's a good lad. Just stand between those two stacks.
I know this.
I know. Composer of the music was Danny Elfman, if that tells you anything.
Fable?
There you go. Nailed
it. Is it Fable?
It is Fable.
I remember this early quest.
Yeah, that's why I picked it. I'm like, everybody remembers this one.
He's might have stuff in them.
They're so dumb back then. They were just like, like they were the most cockney effing.
Yeah, it was stupid. You had to.
They're making a new Fable, I think.
I happening? Think there are two, or they were. Did it already?
Hold on. New Fable.
I remember there was something.
Let me look it up, because I think Microsoft had mentioned it
Fable 4, everything we know so far.
Is it just Fable 4? Yeah, there is. Still, they're working on a Fable radar. 4. For Xbox, yeah, 14 Series days X ago,
everything we know so far. So has fairies, frogs, and brand new developer. Okay.
Yeah.
We know it'll be coming to the Xbox Series X.
Oh, right. Because when they did their showcase, they had a whole trailer with a little fairy in it.
That's right.
I remember that now. Okay. Well, that's happening. Dude, Fable was a cool thing, and then they pooped on it.
And then they pooped.
Well, 3 was no good. 1 was great. No, 2 was really good. 3 was a bummer. And then they kind of.
Did you play Legends?
No. Fable Legends? No. Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, me either. No.
Was that the Wii thing where you had the...
Oh, because you couldn't, because it was canceled. I was wondering why. I was like,
canceled? Yeah, but it was originally going to be like this on-rails like motion game, right? Like a Kinect game or something? Or what was the deal?
Probably. Microsoft Studios, Xbox One.
It's been a while. Right.
It's been a while
since I said I've seen Legends. All right, we're gonna move on now to because that was fun and we both won. But now it's time to read your emails. We got an email from a listener named. Oh, I should mention before we do this, I don't know what I'm reviewing next week, although I have an idea. But Brian's gonna take a look at this game we both got called Mech Mechanics Simulator. You may want to check it out before. Well, you should play it and make sure, because I really hit a wall on it, and I don't know why. Why? Because
I'm gonna give a quick review of it, because I'm not gonna play it either, because it really feels unfinished. Mech Mechanic Simulator. I doubt I'm gonna play it for next week, but it's kind of a deconstruction game.
Yeah.
That you work in a mech garage basically, and mechs come in with damage on them. You have to clean them off first, and then you kind of. You disassemble parts of it, mm-hmm. and then you have to locate bad parts and replace the parts. It's really fun.
The concept is awesome.
Yeah.
I think I went in there thinking, oh, this will be like Shipbreaker, except I'm taking apart mechs, and it's not quite
that. That's what I thought.
It's different than that.
That's what I thought, too. There's a lot of holding down the mouse button. Yeah. This would make a great mobile game. Because it's like, it's such just a time waster. You can just, you hold down a screw and it unscrews, and it'll tell you to swipe in a certain direction to, pull it off. And you have to take certain pieces off to get down to elements below the surface to repair. And you have to acquire those things that you may have in the shop. So it truly is like a mechanics workshop on mechs.
Yeah.
But it
sounds like a game I would love, but it's, I don't know if mechanically it's doing it for me, so we'll see.
Yeah, right.
Let's do this email. This is from Kevin H. He wrote into boopshow@gmail.com. You're encouraged to do that, by the way, everybody. So send us your emails, boopshow@gmail.com. Kevin H. says, "Dear Scott and Brian, do you guys have an indie game that is older now that you continually go back to time and time again? If so, what is it for you?" Kevin didn't say what his was, which bums me out, because I'd love to hear what he picked, but maybe he's looking for one. But for me, it's the game Broforce from 2015. Well, I actually played it in 2014 for either early access or beta or something. And then I think it finally came out in full in 2015. And it's been everywhere since. You can get on Switch and other stuff. But I love freaking Broforce. I never get tired of playing it. I can go forever and ever and ever. There's something about that game and the way it's constructed. Even though it's just this silly premise and all this other stuff, the gameplay is so good. So I always go back to Broforce. I just love it. What do you do? What's your go-to?
I've been surprised how often I'll start loading up games, and I'm like, oh, well, I need to load up Owlboy from 2016 as an adventure platformer game. And it's just this great pixel art. And I like the characters. They're just dumb. And the mechanics are fun because you can pick up your friends as Owlboy and, shoot and blow up things. It's got a kitsch to it that kind of reminds me of like old school comics or something that have come alive.
It's very
cool. Like old cool comics.
I think you're the one that turned me onto that game in the first place, right. And I think it's pretty rad. It's a good game.
I like it. I like it a lot. But like I said, I always have it loaded up just in case, and I'll pop in and you can just play it just for a little bit. You don't have to dedicate your day to it or anything. It's just. This is fun.
Yeah, it's good stuff. There's still people, by the way, back to Broforce for a second, there's still people making maps and stuff in that thing. So
Oh, nice.
I mean, you can only do that on PC, I think. But
apparently, Owlboy has had some more recent problems. I'm not sure what's going on, but the Steam reviews have went from very positive to mixed. So I don't know if it's got like a compatibility issue or something.
Something happened, yeah. The devs won't answer me when I don't.
They won't talk to me anymore.
Something got a review bombed the other day. What was it? It was some really unlikely target, but it wasn't had nothing to do with the game. It was something to do with Steam did something, and they were using this game as the sucker. I can't remember. I hate
when people do that. Review the product.
I hate it.
Review the product.
If I was them, meaning if I was Steam, I'd just shut that shit off 90% of the time. I mean, I like the idea. Enough people review a thing and you get a good idea of a score. Like, I like aggregate scores, but not when people can just game the system and be dicks about it.
Yeah. Steam's got that little that thing that shows an alert automatically if it has a lot of recent sudden change in reviews. And it'll kind of let you notify. It'll notify you and go, hey, look, something's going on here.
Oh, Nier Automata. That was it. It was Nier. And what?
Oh yeah, near.
Yeah, and what was the deal? It was something that maybe it wasn't Steam doing something, but they had something they wanted that game to do, and the developers weren't going to do it or something. Even though it's got nothing to do with the game, it's old now. Like, I don't know.
I've seen people hop in and review games and be mad about it on Steam. Like, I think there's a game that I was wanting, and it's available for pre-purchase on Steam, but it was already released on Epic. And people were pissed about that, and so they were like review bombing it. I'm like, because it was on Epic first.
Really? God. That's lame.
That's not a review.
That's not a review. That's you being pissed about another store existing? Knock it off.
Right.
Just what a bunch of babies. Little children. Here's the thing, though. I just want small developers to make money and have a successful time. That's all. That's what I want.
That's all I want.
I want them to find some success and not be dicked around by lame crowdsourced bullshit. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Hey,
that's I'm going to say, I would recommend supporting these Neocore game guys. I really believe in what they're doing. I don't want you to get screwed for supporting them, but I like them.
Yeah, I don't think you get screwed. I mean, Martyr
got a good track record.
Martyr had a rough launch, but they were on it and they fixed it, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
So there you have it. That's going to do it for today's show. Again, that email address is boopshow@gmail.com. Frogpants.com/BOOP. That's boop is our address, boop. Our web address. And again, hop onto that Frogpants thing, the Frogpants Club newsletter, because there'll be boop stuff in there occasionally as well, along with other gaming-related things and other stuff you might be into. So check it out. That's over at frogpants.com. Club frogpants.club
club.
I almost did frogpants.link, but it was those are expensive for some
reason. The clubs are on sale because now I own missiondeep.club because you did that. It's like $1.87 for the first year.
It's stupid,
I'll do
right?
that.
It's so cheap, but also they're not bad on the renewal. They're like 13 or whatever. Dot links were like up to 39. I don't know why. It was weird. But anyway, so there's your thing. Go check it out. Be a part of that newsletter. And find us on Twitter at Boop Show, the Brian Dunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson. Our Twitter, not our Twitter accounts, our freaking Twitch accounts. You can find Brian at Brian Dunaway on Twitter. Or it's Twitch. Shit. So if you want to watch him stream some of these games.
You can just go ahead and slow down a little bit if you want to.
I could slow down. I could, but I'm not going to. So I'll say mine really fast. Frog Pants. That's mine on Twitch. And there will be more Little Nightmares too, I promise. I just am scared, and I haven't had time.
Yes. I'm glad you said that, Slintus, because I had it in the show notes, but I forgot to ask.
It was a bad week.
Good point.
Yeah, I'll play it. Don't worry. All right, that's going to do it for us. Brian, any final words of wisdom before we go?
Don't forget to play Little Nightmares 2, Scott.
Okay, I'm going to play it. That's my next thing on my list. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Oh, whoops.
I don't like Steam.
I love Steam.
Destroy them with lasers.
Oh, geez.